spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Camel and I, starring Sam Levine, was written by Morton Wishengrad and is presented in commemoration of the Golden Jubilee of the Jewish National Fund, which is currently being celebrated throughout the world, and the observance of Tu B'Shvat, the Jewish Arbor Day.
When you come to the land and plant trees, and trees and soil give forth their abundance, then shall you be like a tree planted by the waters. The name that he gave us was Reuben Aroni.
A-A-R-O-N-I.
We asked him his age.
35.
The place of his birth?
Budapest.
His last address?
Cyprus. Camp number 16.
And we asked the question, not an easy question.
No relative.
The answers were already written down on the card he had brought from Haifa, but asking them again was a way of opening the conversation. When the questions were done with, it was Gordon who spoke.
Aroni, is there anything you'd like to ask us?
No.
Well, I'm sure you must have some curiosity about our settlement.
No.
When you arrived at Haifa, you asked to come here, didn't you?
Yes.
Why not a settlement in Emek Jezreel? Why not in the Negev? Why here?
There's a place.
Care for a cigarette?
Thanks.
Aroni, we're a new settlement here. As you probably noticed, we're on a shelf of sand between a swamp and a couple of hills of gravel. We've treated the swamp so that there's no danger of malaria, but that's about all. The land probably isn't much good, but it was bought for and paid for, and it's land.
Who'd be crazy enough to buy it?
The Jewish National Fund.
Why this land?
Because it is this kind of land. They don't buy land, they redeem it. Anything else I can tell you?
No.
All right, Aroni, I'll show you to your place to sleep.
Thanks.
I guess you're pretty tired.
Since 1939.
You'll have a night's sleep.
I don't sleep well.
You'll sleep here. Israel is the end of the line for you. Take two blankets and a pillow. Aroni, when people come home, they don't have to be frightened anymore.
This is the ancient testimony of the Torah. It is a goodly land, a land of streams of water and fountains of the deep which come forth in the valley and the mountain, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land in which thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. This is how it was. Today it is wasteland. It must be redeemed. I think you know how we build Eretz Yisrael. A few men, a few women push out into the desert. The hard, brutal, back-breaking, heart-breaking job of reclaiming the land begins. The settlement grows. More men come, more women. A nursery is built, and a school. The roots go deep. And then, all over again, a few men, a few women, pushing further into the desert. Over and over. It's work that calls for stamina and skill.
But on the second day of his coming, it became evident that Reuben Aroney was endowed with a spectacular lack of talent. Ben Tse had the first experience of it.
Don't hold a thaw like that, Aroney. Do you want to cut your thumb off?
No, Ben Tse.
Have you ever used a saw before?
Never.
Man, the lumber is precious. Why didn't you say you never used a saw?
No one asked me.
Put the saw down. You'll find a hammer there.
There.
No, behind you.
Behind me.
Well?
Well, what should I do?
Well, isn't it obvious? There are the nails, there are the boards, here are the 2x4s. Nail the boards to the 2x4s.
How do I do it, Bensby?
You mean you're that stupid?
I'm not stupid, I'm ignorant.
I stand corrected. Here, watch me.
I'm watching.
Now you try it, Aroney.
The nail bent.
Pull it out. Try it again. You missed the nail. Try it again.
Oh.
What did you hit?
My thumb.
Let's take a look at it.
Here.
All right. Go to the infirmary hut. Aroney, don't stand there. Don't you even know when you're bleeding?
He was incredibly clumsy. It was all wrong. The pioneer settlements required men who were trained. And Reuben Aroney was hopeless. On the third day, he was put to work in the kitchen, peeling potatoes. After half an hour, Rifkit found him.
How did the potatoes get red?
I suppose it's from the blood.
What blood?
My blood.
On the fourth day, to keep him out of trouble, Aroney was assigned to help Arye with the plow horse, an aged creature without malice toward any human being.
Whoa! All right, Aroney, come to this side. I want to show you something about the horse. I said come around. He won't let me, Arye. The horse is a she.
She won't let me.
She doesn't kick. This is the gentlest horse in the Middle East. Don't be afraid of her.
I'm not afraid.
Come around here, then.
I can't, are
you? Why can't you?
She's standing on my foot.
God. Oh. Get up!
Whoa!
How did that feel?
Nothing seems to be broken.
Aroney, if no one else has said it, I should like to be the first to declare that there's a quality in you that approaches genius.
On the fifth day, a day when elsewhere in the world there was some discussion about permitting the establishment of a Jewish state in the land of Israel, some of our neighbors gathered to protest the current of events.
Down, everybody, down. Heads down, heads down. Arye, bring out the rifles.
Rifles coming.
Rivka, see if you can see how many there are.
About 25, I'd say. Cut a few more.
Arye, see if you can crawl to the shed and assemble the machine gun.
Right.
David, you help him.
Aye, yes, sure.
Rivka, you think you can get the radio working?
I think so.
Now, don't exaggerate the attack. Tell Haganah that I think we can handle it ourselves.
All right.
Eliyahu, you take them three, Moshe. Head down! Get that head down! Aroney.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's me.
Man, haven't you even got the instinct of self-preservation? Rivka, sit him down and see to his wound.
He can't sit down, Gordon. That's where he's been hit.
The mistake was yours, Gordon. You only said heads down. Rifkit, you stay here. I'll take care of Aroney. Crawl this way, pal.
The attack against our little settlement had begun shortly after the morning meal. The firing continued until Arye and I managed to assemble the machine gun Gordon had prudently remembered to bring along. That brought an end to the little flurry. The attackers left in some haste. After that, no one was much disposed to continue with work, and so we sat around talking. It didn't take very long for the conversation to get around to Reuben Aroney.
Does anyone have a practical suggestion?
Seems to me the only thing is to send him back to Haifa.
No, we can be patient a little longer.
Rivka. It's hard enough to be patient with a desert, and patient with the flies and mosquitoes, and patient with the stink that comes from the swamp, and patient with the hot sun, and patient with the Arabs, and patient with all the diplomats overseas and our own politicians at home. To be patient with Aroney, that's not in the contract.
Arye, the things he's been through are not the sort of things that train a man for work in the desert.
That's my point, Rifka. Let him leave the desert and go to Haifa or Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
That means we quit on him.
This is a frontier settlement. Not the place for occupational therapy.
Gordon, couldn't we let him stay a bit longer?
Harry is right. I would vote against it. I'm as sorry as you are. He's probably a pretty decent person.
Thank you for saying so, Gordon. I heard what you said.
When you came here, Aroni, I told you this was your home. I'm sorry I have to go back on my word.
I have no hard feelings. In your place, I do the same thing.
You're a good fellow.
I'm a Schlemiel.
Aroni, what were you before? I mean, before Cyprus.
Before Cyprus was Bergen-Belsen.
Before Bergen-Belsen?
Before Bergen-Belsen was Dachau.
Before Dachau?
That's a million years ago.
All right, think back a million years ago.
I played the second fiddle in a symphony orchestra in Poland.
Then you were good for something.
Oh, you don't have to be very good to play second fiddle.
What I don't understand, Aroni, is why you didn't stay in Haifa or go to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
I didn't want a place in the city. I wanted a place on the land.
But you knew you had no skill.
Well, I thought I could carry garbage or dig holes until I learned something useful.
Why do you want the land?
I don't know. Just a feeling. It was a mistake, I guess. I guess when Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, I managed to get myself lost in the wilderness.
Early the next morning, Arya came to report that Aroni had disappeared.
His things are gone. He must be trying to walk all the way back to Haifa.
The lunatic, he'll be walking through hostile territory. They'll kill him.
And so we went out to find him. Bent's Fee found him on the other side of the swamp.
Look what I got! A camel!
In the name of all the prophets, the rabbis, and the sages of the first Sanhedrin.
That's an idea. We could call the camel Sanhedrin.
Where did you get him?
From the Arab.
What Arab?
One of the Arabs who shot at us.
Why didn't he shoot at you?
He had no bullets left. Then we talked sign language, and I traded with the Arab, my satchel, and all the clothes for the camel.
Even the United Nations wouldn't believe that.
I can't help it, Ben Svi. It's the truth.
Aroni, the whole thing is ridiculous. I've been here for years. I've never seen a camel.
Here's a camel.
What are you going to do with him?
He can carry a half a ton of gravel on his back.
So,
the camel and I can carry gravel from the hill over there to the swamp over here. We can line the bottom of the swamp with gravel and then build walls on four sides and we can grow fish. It'll be a fish factory. I read about it in the newspaper.
We had a meeting and the timid consensus of opinion was that Aroni and the camel could stay.
Mind you, it's only for a trial period of 2 weeks.
Thanks. Come on, Sanhedrin! To the gravel heap! To the gravel heap!
Of all beasts of burden, the camel is the most savage. He isn't tame, he's only stupid. But somehow, Aroni managed to get him to work.
I make up songs for him.
It was Arya who overheard one of the songs.
Say the words again.
The words aren't much.
Say them.
Oh, my camel, you are my comrade as we work together with the gravel. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel.
I don't want to seem critical, but the words don't go together.
That makes no difference, just as long as they fit the music. Come on, Sanhedrin, there's lots of gravel, there's lots of work.
Gamal Gamali, Gamal Gamali, Haveratali, Bezifzif. Gamal Gamali, Gamal Gamali, Haveratali, Bezifzif.
I think that nowhere in the world have there ever been pioneers like ours. Elsewhere, those who have come to the land have found good soil and sweet water and tall trees growing. But we found a poor land, naked, neglected, eroded, without a tree, with hardly a blade of grass, parched for water, stony, tired. And we've carried away the stones with our hands and brought back the soil with our hands and tried with our hands to comfort and to replenish and to restore the land.
Gamal Gamali, Gamal Gamali.
We are strong, but here was Aroni. Not strong, fatigued by 8 years of hunger, frayed by 8 years of despair and near madness, clumsy, wounded, humiliated.
What was he doing loading baskets with gravel? The baskets onto a camel.
Hold, Sanhedrin! Hold! Hold!
He wasn't a handsome sight, caked with dirt. And living in such proximity to the camel, his fragrance was communicated over great distances.
Aroni, a little gift. 2 cakes of soap.
That week we had respect for Reuben Aroni. He had given himself a task and he was carrying it out.
Sanhedrin is a very musical camel.
That's a pretty tune, Aroni.
Yes, it's too bad you don't have a violin.
A supply truck goes out from the city toward the settlement. It carries cans of food, nails, a plow, medicine, sometimes a book, a pot to hold soup, or a flower. Sometimes a truck can even find space for a second-hand violin.
Is it all right if it...
Sure.
I haven't seen a violin for 9 years.
I suppose this isn't much of an instrument.
I thought I'd forgotten. Music. Doesn't sound bad.
Aroni, we've been watching you. It's a good job you're doing.
The camel and I.
Here's the bow to the violin.
I think it'll play when it's tuned.
Will you play for us?
I'll play on the Sabbath. That is, I'll play if...
You'll be here on the Sabbath. All the Sabbaths, Aroni.
There's a terrible exhaustion that descends after the evening meal. Arms and legs are heavy, the head droops, eyes are half-lidded, and the fatigue is like a living presence. But that night, Reuben Aroni tuned the violin, and he played for us the song of his camel.
Gamal, Gamali, Gamal, Gamali, Haber Atali, Bezisif. Gamal, Gamali, Gamal, Gamali, Haber Atali, Bezisif.
Oh, my camel, you are my comrade as we work together with the gravel. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. There in the desert, there was a gush of melody from Reuben Aroni, a man redeemed from the wilderness. Those next days, while Aroni and his camel worked together to transform a stagnant swamp into a fish pond, the rest of us plowed and built our houses and guarded our settlement against attack. And slowly, our little settlement acquired a habit. Whenever Aroni and his camel passed a man in the field or a woman at work, there was always a greeting.
Aroni, what's new?
Just a fragment. Let's hear it.
What's new, Aroni?
Melody seemed to come as easy to him as speech to another man. In the weeks and the months that followed, it seemed that even the smallest incident could produce a song.
Aroni, you look thirsty and hot.
No more than always, Rivka.
Hold the cup, I'll pour.
Thank you, Rivka.
Bring your camel, I'll fill the bucket.
Rivka.
Yes?
That's the same as Rebecca.
Yes, Aroni.
How does it go in the Bible?
I'm not sure.
And it came to pass that the damsel was very fair to look upon. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Give me to drink, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher." And Rebecca said, "Drink, my lord." And she gave him drink. And when she had done, she said, "I will draw for thy camels also, until they have done drinking."
Aroni, we laughed at you. Forgive us.
No one laughed.
Make the words into a song.
I'll try, Rivka.
Do it for me,
Yes. Thank you for the water. There is nothing so good for thirst as water.
Naratovaye fatenaim hatika de hashinimaim.
Naratovaye. Beautiful maiden, pray lower your pitcher and give me water.
Drink, kind sir, and I shall give water to your camels too.
Who are you, lovely maiden?
My name is Rebecca.
We are an outpost in the desert. Green fields flung like a live banner against the brownness of dead sand. The houses grow where we have come. The water courses, and seed comes to flower. The baldness is gone from the hills nearby, and the little trees we planted have taken root. There is a green margin of eucalyptus and poplar at the water place, which was once a swamp, and which Aroni and his camel have made into a clear pool, where fish are planted like a crop, and where food is harvested. So much to have done in so short a time.
In so short a time.
Not so short. It's taken 2,000 years.
Yes, but that's history. We're not history. You know what day this is?
Wednesday?
I don't mean that. Don't you remember?
Have I forgotten to do something again?
A year ago today, you came here.
You remember?
I'd gone to the well. Gordon was showing you around. At first, I can tell you now. At first, I thought you were an old man.
I was.
I watched you. Day after day.
I was looking at the land.
You never smiled.
It looked so tired. I didn't think the trees could take root.
Or the people.
Rivka, I carried gravel. I planted olive and eucalyptus. And one day, you gave me water to drink. Rivka, something happened.
I know.
I've been growing younger.
Like the land.
Yeah? Rivka, look. Have you noticed our olive trees? They're turning green.
When you come to the land and plant trees, and trees and soil give forth their abundance, then shall you be like a tree planted by the waters. He had passed over the Red Sea and come out of the midst of a barbarous people. And behold, Judah became his territory and Israel his dominion. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Edward T. Sandro of Temple Bethel, Cedarhurst, Long Island. Rabbi Sandro.
You have heard a deeply sensitive play depicting the love of a man for his soil and the release of creative faculties which the land gave him in return. With the rebirth of Israel, the newcomers from lands ravaged and robbed of their growth and beauty were themselves reborn. They restored the fertility of the country, They made barren ground and scorched hills bloom with rich foliage and shaded woods. In the process, they became younger. Their achievement, maturing out of idealistic yearning and self-sacrificing courage, their struggle to prove to nature and to a watchful world the productive capacities of a people, touches in its spirit an epic of the Bible. The Jew, no matter where he lives, has always had a deep regard for the trees and fruits which give man his daily nourishment. And just as we celebrate our Arbor Day in America, so centuries ago did members of the Jewish faith mark the New Year of the trees. The Talmud speaks of this New Year with the same reverence and respect as it does of the religious New Year or the historical New Year. The Jew was always aware of this mysterious interplay of forces which nature and man exercise upon one another. As long as such beauty and such resources are possible where men labor and cooperate, may we not hope for the time when every man will live under his vine and fig tree with none to make him afraid, when the marching feet of planters and sowers will replace the tramping of arms which burn the grass and flowers and bring disease and old age to the soil as well as to man. Let us pray for a return of men to a love of earth, not merely their own, but the earth of the Lord's and the fullness thereof, bringing growth and youth and peace and achievement to human beings everywhere.
Thank you, Rabbi Sandro. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Camel and I, was written by Morton Wishingrad and starred Sam Levine as Aroni. Alexander Skurby was the narrator. The music was based on melodies by Yadidya Gorokhov in arrangements by Morris Pomorsky and was conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the vocal soloist. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.